Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, today the word of the Lord is this, is our inheritance. Say our inheritance.
Our inheritance.
Do you know that? If you had a a wealthy, wonderful family, you know, that had boats and jet skis and a beach house and real estate and houses and lots of money and all those things, how many of you, by a show of hands, if the day came and it was time to transfer that into your possession and your ownerships, how many of you would be willing to receive that? Just show of hands all across this room. Those of you without your hands in the air are liars. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But if you really feel that way, just give them my name and number. I'll be happy to receive it for you. We would all be willing to receive an inheritance that comes our way. But I have good news for you today. We have a wonderful, wealthy, heavenly Father whose will is to give us an inheritance. Come on, somebody. That's who we serve. That's the Father that we have, our heavenly Father. He has an inheritance that he wants to share with all of the saints, with all the people who are part of his family. There's an inheritance for us in the kingdom of God. So we're going to talk about that, what that looks like. What is the inheritance and what is it that God has for us? So if you've got your Bible today, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, you can open that up and use that too. See, God's will, God's plan, and God's purpose is that we would share in his inheritance of the kingdom. It's not a mystery. God's will isn't a mystery. So often we're praying, God, show me your will. His will is in his word. That's his will. You want to know God's will? Get to know his word. That's his will. So his will and his plan and his purpose is that we would share in his inheritance. We know this in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It says that the Father delights or takes great pleasure in that his children, his people would share in their inheritance. So God takes great joy when we walk in our inheritance. The problem is we have so many Christians these days that only operate or live in a little bit of their inheritance. They receive salvation and forgiveness of their sin, but that's all of the inheritance they're walking in because that's all that they know, right? So they're walking in just a little bit of their inheritance. But scripture tells us our Father delights. He takes great joy when his kids, when his people, like they take part in all of their inheritance. That's what he has for us, is our inheritance. So we're going to learn what that is today and how we access it, right? So Acts chapter 20, verse 32, it says this. He says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace." So here the Apostle Paul is speaking. He's speaking to a group of Christians that he's telling them, I'm not going to see you again, and I'm giving you some final instructions. So that's what's happening in this text. Paul is speaking, and Luke is recording this passage. So he says, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of his grace, that's the message of Jesus that he had preached to them, the word of God. The good news, the gospel, how Jesus died on the cross for our sins and how he was raised to life so that we could receive our inheritance. That's the plan, right? That Jesus came and he died for our sins. He paid for our sins so we wouldn't have to, because sin has to be paid for by death, right? That's the problem, is that we all have sin. Scripture says we all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So we all have sinned, and if we want to pay for our sins, we have to pay for it with death. So our death then pays for our sins. Problem is, when we die with sin in our lives, we are eternally separated from God. So that didn't work out too good for God, who wanted us to be part of his family, right? So that's why Jesus came, to pay for our sins so we wouldn't have to, right? So Jesus came, paid for our sin. Then when God raised him to life, he did that so that those who put their faith in him could then live in an inheritance, could then inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not about a kingdom or a piece of land. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the kingdom of God. So here Paul is telling them the word of his grace. And he says this can do two things for us. Number one, it can build us up. So it can strengthen you. So if you need strength, the word of God, the good news, can strengthen you. It can build you up, right? The second thing he says, it says it can give us an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Everybody say inheritance. sanctified, that word here just means those who are saved, those who have put their faith in Jesus, who've believed in Jesus. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. That's what he's doing. So Paul is telling us that our inheritance is going to do two things. It's going to come through the word of his grace, and it's going to strengthen us. It's going to build us up. It's going to come through the word, the gospel. It's going to come through Jesus, right? And it's going to give us this inheritance in the kingdom. What's really sad is when you don't know about something and you miss out on it, right? Isn't that terrible? You didn't even know and you missed out on it. I read a statistic this week that says in the United States alone, there's $58 billion, billion dollars of unclaimed money. That's money that belongs to people and they don't know it belongs to them. What? Somebody's going to be getting online after service and be like, does this money belong to me? I hope it does. Come on. $58 billion. People are missing out on all that cash because they don't even know it's theirs. That's sad. What's even sadder, it's even worse, is when you know about something and you still miss out on it. We know we have an inheritance. We know we have provision. We know we have peace. We know we have healing, and we miss out on it, right? It's an inheritance, and that's what the inheritance includes. It includes everything that God has for us: peace, love, joy, patience, faith, right? Provision, protection, wisdom, guidance. It's all in the inheritance, and it's all ours. We've just got to learn how to access it and how to live in it, right? We got to learn how to access it, and it starts with his word. It starts with the word of God and our faith in that word, right? Let me show you this in scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he's writing and he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So right there, grace and peace is yours. So if you need grace, you need some peace in your life, it's yours. And it can be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the more that we know him and know about him, then that's how grace and peace will be multiplied to us, right? It's not just knowing about God, right? I don't know if you've ever talked to that person who's like, yeah, I know about God. I learned all the stories in Sunday school. Daniel in the lion's den, you know, David and Goliath. I know all the stories, right? But there's just different levels of knowing. I'm not talking about knowing some facts. I'm talking about knowing him personally. Like, do you talk to him? And does he talk to you? Personal relationship. See, Christianity is not a checklist. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not, you know, church attendance. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have that, you don't got nothing. All right? That's where it starts. Without knowing him, nothing else matters. That's what he's telling us here. Is like, if we don't know him, there's nothing else that matters, right? It's like we start talking about sports. People are like, you know, you start talking about sports stars. Like, you know Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah, I know Aaron Rodgers. Of course I do. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. So that's what always will be my reference back to. So if you're not, I know we had a terrible season. I know the record. They had a terrible season. I know Aaron Rodgers. He's number 12. He went to University of California. He's played his whole career in Green Bay. He's a Super Bowl MVP. Like, I know him. I know Aaron. I even know things he said, y'all. Right? R-E-L-A-X. Relax. You know, if you don't, you can Google that later. He said that one time. I know Aaron Rodgers, but I can't call him up on my phone. I don't got his number because I don't know him on a personal basis, right? And then we ask somebody, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. He's the guy who lived 2,000 years ago. I even know he died on the cross. He died for my sins. I know he told some stories. He was a good person. He healed some people, right? He said some good things. Let him without sin cast the first stone. I know about Jesus, right? But it's facts. It's just knowing some information is not a personal relationship. So we've got to begin to develop our spirit in this way that we begin to know him on a personal level, that there's communication, that there's fellowship, like we enjoy being with him and he delights in being with us. And we talk to him and he talks to us and he tells us things and shows us things and like relationship. Like it's knowing on that level. There's just different levels of knowing, and it's a season, a year for us to get to know God in a deeper way, right? A deeper way. So he goes on, he says, and God is, through his divine power, he's given us all things. Everybody say all things. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. So here again, he's telling us, he's giving us two things. What is he giving us? He's given us all things that pertain to life. So that's all things. That's everything that we need to live this life. Everything. All things. And all things that pertain to how to live a godly life, right? How to live in a way that pleases God, right? And how does that come? Again, and he tells us through our knowledge of knowing him. knowing him personally. Like, that's how that comes. So that's part of our inheritance, is all things that pertain to this life. So that's why we don't have to worry about tomorrow. That's why we don't have to worry if we're going to have enough. That's why we don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen, because he said we would have all things, right? All things that pertain to this life and godliness. So it comes through our knowledge of God. So we shouldn't be surprised when we don't see all of God working in our life and we haven't invested in our relationship with him. We shouldn't be surprised by it. God, where are you? Like, he's like, I'm sorry, what was your name? Because like, we pop into church when we want. I don't need to be there this next week. I've got things to do. Like, I don't have time to pray today. So like, we shouldn't be surprised when we don't know him, that there's nothing of his power working in our lives. That's what's so powerful about these days of fasting and prayer, right? About times when we push something away and we say, God, I want you. I want to know you. I want to get to know you. That's what's so powerful about it, is we say, God, you're the thing. I want you more than I want anything else. That's why we talked about it last week. I'm so excited about our upcoming Bible college classes that we're going to be offering. And I just tell you about it because it's just for those that want to get involved. It's for everyone, but it's for those who say, I want to get deeper into what God has for me. Because if all you have of knowing God is right here on Sunday morning for 60 or 70 minutes, good luck. It's going to be a rough road. Like, so we just need to spend more of our time, like, putting more of our effort into getting to know him more. And that's what the Bible college classes is for. It's just a concentrated, like, getting into the word of understanding who God is and what he wants to do in our lives and getting his power working in our lives. It's just that concentrated thing of getting his power working in our lives. So if you're interested in that, we're going to be telling you more in the weeks to come. But if you want the pre-information, like, send us an email, a Facebook message, however it takes to get a hold of us, write it on the offering envelope, tell me about the Bible college, put it in the bucket, let us know. We'll get that information to you here in the coming weeks as we launch that this spring. So we're starting to get a picture now of our inheritance, right? It includes everything that we need that pertains to this life and everything that it requires for us to live a godly life. Everything that God has for us is wrapped up in the inheritance. So our provision is in the inheritance, right? Our protection is in the inheritance. Our healing is in our inheritance, right? Everything that we need, right? Everything is in there, right? So we've got the picture of it. Now, how do we get it? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Next verse, he says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, everybody say through these. It's through these promises we will become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, right? So in other words, it's through the promises of God. Right. It's through the word of God that we become partakers of God's divine nature. It's his characteristics. It's who he is, right? What defines who he is. So through the promises of God, we become partakers. Everybody knows what it means to partake. It's like when you partake of a cheeseburger, it comes inside of you. It becomes part of who you are. It tastes delicious on the way down, but I won't know what that is for 21 days. So I'm just prayer and fasting. I'm fasting. But when I partake of food, it becomes part of who I am. So when we partake of the word of God, God says that God's very nature becomes who we are. We partake of his characteristics. We partake of his nature. So before I had the word in my life, I couldn't forgive, right? So once I begin to partake of the word of God that says that if I want God to forgive me, I've got to begin to forgive and forgive as Christ has forgiven me. Now I begin to partake of the word of God. Now I can freely forgive, right? I couldn't love before those who were mean to me and those who were nasty to me because I just left to my own. I'm selfish and hateful, right? But when I begin to partake of the word of God that says God is love, right? And love drives out fear. Now I don't have to be afraid of people. I can begin to love freely because that's who I part like that. I'm becoming what God has, like his character, his nature, right? That's why I don't, when he said, like before I had the word, I didn't want to give. I didn't want to serve because it was all about me. Right, but once I begin to partake of the word, and when I begin to partake of God's word and let it come in, like his nature of generosity and serving, like became who, like it becomes part of who we are. We become who he is when we begin to partake of his word. We take on his attributes, right? It's a good place to say amen right there. And if that's not good enough, he says, then we escape the corruption in the world. It's easy to look around and see our world is full of corruption. Right? It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. There's all kinds of stuff going on all around our world. And it's craziness, right? But that's why he gave the promises, right? That's why they're there. He said, so when you begin to partake of the world, then you'll be able to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust and desire for things, right? It's not the escape like, Lord, get me out of here because it's crazy down here. Get me up to heaven. That's not the escape he's talking to. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told us your inheritance includes everything that you need for this life and to live godly in this life. You just don't have to be bound up by fear. You don't have to be drawn in by greed and hold on to it. You don't have to be drawn in by lust and lose your marriage and your family. No, we're going to escape all that because I've got the word working inside of me and I've taken on the attributes of God. So I'm beginning to escape those things while I'm here. Come on. This is the good news for us. It's the good news. My dad, he loves hot things, peppers and stuff. He lives in Colorado. And so when my daughter was growing up, we would grow peppers for him, you know, jalapenos and cayenne peppers and all those things. And so, you know, when you do that, like we would go to the Home Depot, the hardware store, and we'd get these packages of seeds. And you walk in, they have a whole section of them. And what's good for me is I'm not a scientist or a horticulturist or whatever that's called. I was a music major in college. And so I'm so thankful for the pictures on the package and the words that tell me, because if I were just to look at the seed, I would not know this was a pepper seed. Right? So thank you for the picture, seed company, you know. So you get the seeds and you take them and you bring them home and you have to buy that nice expensive dirt that costs $6 a bag and all that, you know, all that stuff, because the dirt outside isn't good enough. I've got to have the fancy dirt, you know. And so I get that. We get the seeds planted. But what's interesting, when you open the package, what comes out of the package? Seeds. I didn't open the package and peppers didn't come out, right? It didn't instantly grow a pepper plant. Seeds are in there. But sometimes we get in our, you know, relationship with God and we're like, okay, God, I got the seeds. I got the word. Now, where are you? Why isn't it happening? We want it to be instant. Like we just read a scripture and now I should have everything. Like God's what's happening? And that's not how it works. See, there's a process of how we receive our inheritance. Just like in our legal system here in America, there's a process of if you're to receive an inheritance, there's a legal process you have to go through in order to receive what has been promised to you, right? It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. There's a process that we have to go through in order to receive what has been promised to us. But everything has been given to us in seed form. Everything is, all of our inheritance has been given to us in seed form. So your healing is in seed form, right? Your provision is in seed form. Your protection is in seed form. The wisdom that God has for you is in seed form. The direction that he has for you is in seed form. Everything is wrapped up in seeds. Let me show you in scripture, right? James chapter 1, verse 21, he says this. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and all the evil that's so prevalent and do what? Humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you. So in other words, we receive the seed of God's word in us through humility. That means the arrogant and the proud can't receive it. So pride and arrogance, self-sufficient. I can do this on my own. I don't need that. I can figure it out. I don't need to be part of that. I those are shields to the word of God being planted in our lives. James would tell us a few chapters later, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we receive the word through humility. There's either going to be humility or humiliation. One of the two is coming. It's just easier if we choose humility. If you've ever been humiliated, you know that just to humble yourself is a whole lot better. He goes on in the next verse. He says, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself, but do what it says. Right? Do what it says. So in other words, to build our lives on God's word, we can't just like, oh, that was a great message, and then close the book and I'll see you next week and just go about our way. What happens with that kind of person, the devil doesn't even have to get involved. We're giving him credit for all these things, but he doesn't even have to get involved because that person is self-deceived because they haven't put the word to work in their lives. I heard it, but that's all, and I just left it there. Scripture says we have to begin to do it. So now we have a generation of deceived Christians that are growing up because they haven't put the word to work in their lives. All the while, they're trying to do good things and saying, God, where are you? Why aren't you working in my life? And he said, it's because you're not a doer. All you do is listen and you don't do anything with it. We've got to begin to plant the seeds of God's word in our heart and let it grow, right? It'd be like if you said to me, Pastor, do you have any peppers? Yeah, I got peppers right here. Lots and lots of peppers. I got them. You want some? We can go make some fajitas with these peppers right now. And you'd be looking at me kind of crazy, like, honey, get the keys. Pastor's lost it. Like, all I've got is the seeds. All I've got is the seeds. I've got a picture of what it's supposed to look like, but all I've got is the seeds. That's what the word of God is a seed. So we've got to begin to take the seed of God's word, plant it in the soil of our heart, and begin to mix it with faith. Because I had many years of these peppers with my dad where we would plant them. We'd put them in the pot with the good dirt. We'd put water on it. And then, like, when my daughter was especially younger, she'd run out the next morning and be like, where's the peppers? Like, baby, it's been 10 hours. It doesn't grow that fast. Right? But we wanted it like that, but it's a seed. It's got to grow. It's got to go into the ground. It's got to be watered. It's got to be in the sun for the right amount of time, but not too long, because if it's in the sun too long, then it'll die. And it's got to be watered every day. And I've had many years where I didn't take care of it. I didn't guard it against the birds and the sandhill cranes that would come. I didn't guard it. I didn't water it one day, and the next day it's dead and never coming back. Right? Like, we've got to water the seed. We've got to take care of it. We've got to make sure that the word is growing in our lives, because if we don't tend to it, it's going to be gone. Right? It's the word of God that's got to grow in our lives. We've got to plant the seed and let it grow. So we read what Paul said about it, and Peter. We read what James said about our inheritance and how we receive it. And what's interesting is that they didn't come up with this, that they're just teaching us what was taught to them through Jesus. Jesus taught this principle. He taught it in two different places in the Gospels. Matthew 13 is one place. Today, I want to read it from Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Jesus talking about our inheritance in the kingdom of God and how we'll receive it. So I want to read it to you this way. In verse 1, he says this. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. And then a crowd gathered around him that was so large, he had to get into the boat, and he sat out in it in the lake. While all the people were along the shore of the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So there's the first type of ground we see, pathway ground. Some fell upon rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. So there's the second type, the rocky ground. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. That's the third kind, thorny ground. And still other seed fell on good soil. Everybody say, good soil. Come on, say it with some soul, and you say, good soil. Y'all sound good this morning. Come on. He says, that seed came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't that a funny phrase? He's not talking about natural hearing, because he could obviously look around and see people with two things on the side of their heads. Right? Ears. Like, people could hear the words that he was saying. So he wasn't talking about hearing words. What's he talking about? Hearing in here. Listening with our hearts. Like, or are we too hard inside when God speaks that we can't? No, I got that. Thanks. I always say, like, we live in the I know generation. You ever tried to tell somebody something? I know. I told you two words. I know. I know. Like, we have to be careful that we remain teachable and we keep our hearts soft before him, so that we don't become too hard, so that we can listen with the ears of our heart, hear what his spirit is saying to us, right? So the story would go on as the crowds would leave. Jesus would be alone with his 12 disciples, and they'd begin to ask him, like, Jesus, please tell us why you use parables. Why don't you just explain things, what you mean? Why are you always using parables? And Jesus said, well, there's two groups of people. There's the people who will understand the secrets of the kingdom, and there will be those that don't. And the way I think is that when I see that phrase, like, I want to be in the group that understands the secrets. So what is it going to take for me to get the, to know the secret? Right? And so he begins in the next verse, verse 12, to describe the people, the two groups of people, how you'll know them. He says, the first group of people, they will hear and not understand, and they will see and not see. They'll be able to see, but they won't know what they're looking at. The other group of people, they will turn and repent and be forgiven. That's where it starts. It starts from turning from some things that we've been repenting and letting God bring for healing. So if we're going to understand the secrets of the kingdom, we're going to have to turn from some things that other people are embracing. Right? We're going to have to turn from some things. He would go on, verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any other parable?" So he's basically saying, if you don't understand this parable I just told you about sowing and all these different types of ground, then you won't understand any of the other parables. This parable is the key to understanding all the parables, to understanding the secrets of the kingdom of God. Like this parable, if you don't get it, like then you miss the whole thing. Like this parable is the key. It's the master key. So it's understanding way beyond knowing the facts of the story. Many of us have heard this story before, but it's way beyond memorizing to knowing, like having wisdom, having understanding. So Jesus would then explain it to him because obviously the disciples didn't get it because then he explained it, right? He said, the farmer sows the word. This is someone who's communicating the word of God. Right now, I'm sowing the word of God in you. I'm sowing the word. But all of us are the sower. All of us can be the sower, right? You're not looking at the only minister at Victory. I'm looking at a room full of ministers. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel of God. Everywhere we go, we're called. Isn't that what Jesus said? Go into all the world. He didn't say, all you pastors, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, no, if you're my disciple, go into all the world and preach the good news. Tell people about freedom. Tell people about forgiveness of their sin. Tell people that they can be restored and redeemed. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Like there'll be blind eyes that will be opened, right? Come on, that's what we're called to do. So it's not just my job. But right now, so all of us can sow the word, maybe through a text, through an email, through a conversation, through a Facebook or Instagram post or a tweet, whatever that is, we can all sow the word. But it's somebody who's declaring the word of God, right? So some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So here we see the pathway ground, the hardened ground. Think about it. If you've ever walked on a trail or a dirt path, what is it? It's packed down. It's hardened. Things can't get in there easily, right? It's packed in. And I wasn't a farmer. I wasn't raised on the farm. So I had to do some research on what Jesus was talking about here in this farming mentality. But what would happen was that in Jesus' day, the farmer would have like a mule or an ox or some kind of large animal like that, and he'd get a plowshare behind them, which was a long stick with a blade on the bottom, and he would ride along the back of it and break up the ground, break up the earth, so there would be a trench along the ground where the seed could be sown, right? But if you walked through the field where you just plowed up all those roads, you would be pushing down all the dirt again, right, that you just worked so hard to plow up. So what there was around the edge of the field, there was what was called a pathway. Right? And that's where you walked. You didn't walk through the field. You walked through the pathway. So when they would plant the seed, he would walk around the edge, down the pathway, grab a handful of seed and throw it out there, trying to get it to land in the place he just broke up. That's why some would end up on the pathway. Some would end up in places where there's rocks, and some would end up in places where there's thorns, and then some would end up in the place where he intended in there, right? So he's throwing the seed and it's being scattered, and some ends up on the pathway. And on that pathway, since it can't go down anything because it's hardened and packed, the birds would come and eat it. And that's the picture he's showing us here, that those people that have the arrogant and proud hearts, I can do it on my own. I don't need that. I don't need church. I can pray by myself. And yes, you can pray by yourself, but you need a group of believers around us. We all need that. He says, don't forsake the gathering of yourself as some people do. Like, we need to be together. We need to be worshiping God. We need to have our personal time with him too. It's all those things together, but it's that arrogant, prideful heart where people say, I don't need God. I don't need all that. Why? I don't even, like, I got this. I'm good on my own. God, I don't need you, right? And when they hear the word, the devil comes and steals it from them. It doesn't do anything in their lives. Doesn't do anything. Some of us have been that person. Don't be elbowing your neighbor right now. Just keep it right here. Let me do your work, baby. I got you. You just keep those elbows right here. Right? Some of us have been that hard ground. Some of us are that hard ground right now. And all those thoughts, even right now, are creeping up in your mind. Like, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. I don't need all that anyways. I can take care of it. Listen, I'm just telling you, the grace of God is here to... See, that's the goodness of God, is that it doesn't matter if our hearts have become hard. We serve the God who specializes in breaking up a hard place and bringing good ground to it. Where there was no harvest before, through the grace of God, there can be harvest again. So you might have been that person before, but your life has been transformed, and now there's fruit and harvest coming forth from your life because of the word that's been sown in you. So I'm telling you today, there's good news. If you feel that way today, there's hope for you. There's good news. Come on. I love it. Here's the second type of ground. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, they hear the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, one translation says, since they have no depth to themselves, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So here we see people that are really happy when they hear the word of God. They maybe even prayed the prayer at the end. They were singing, oh, that was a great service. But then what happens? The service ends, they close the book, and they leave, and they go about their life. And they forget about it. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker, or a post on Facebook or whatever it is. Somebody comes and begins to say something like, why are you even at that church? Don't you know all them crazy hand lifters are at that church? Why are you even involved in that? If you're going to be involved with them, you can't hang out with us, right? And, you know, that stuff doesn't even work. Healing, that's not for today. That was just some nice stories in a book. Why are you even believing that? Why are you even wasting your time on that fasting? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. And persecution comes because of the word, right? Persecution never comes to bless you. It never comes to build us up or make our faith stronger. Persecution comes for one reason, and that's to steal the word of God that's been planted in our lives so that we quit, so that we don't give up, right? And too many of us live on that level where we're surface deep and there's no depth to us because we haven't allowed the word to really go down. I know it's some good stuff, Pastor. I know the word is good, but we haven't really let it get down in there and take root in us, right? That's why we don't see any fruit from it. It's just some nice things we try to say all the time, and we're just constantly trying because the word hasn't taken root in us because we haven't let depth develop, right? So we've got to begin to let depth develop in us. That's why like people say, like, well, before I received Jesus, I had a lot less problems. Now my friends don't like me and I got all these things coming against me, right? That's because when we begin to change, when we begin to advance, now we become a threat to the kingdom of darkness, right? Now we're no longer part of that. And now Jesus is telling us that persecution is going to come for the sake of stealing the word. So we shouldn't be surprised when these kind of attacks come. We shouldn't hang our head and be like, oh, can you just believe all the woe is me, all these things I'm going through. Listen, persecution and trouble are going to come. That happens to everybody. But those of us that are full of the word of God, persecution is going to come to try to steal it. We've got to let some depth happen to us to not let it steal our joy, to not let it steal the word out of our hearts so that we can grow beyond that. We've got to allow the word to work in our lives. Plant the word, let it grow, right? Here's the next type of ground that he says. Still others are like seed among the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. So here we see people that they love Jesus. They love Jesus with all their hearts. They're in church. They're lifting their hands. They know all the hill songs. They know all the elevation worship songs. And, you know, they've got a good game. They've got it going on. But what they've got is they've got three things coming at them that they don't know about and they haven't dealt with. Right? And Jesus tells us what they are. First one is the cares of this world, right? That's just our daily stuff, right? Our daily demands, taking the kids to school, doing the laundry, paying the bills, going to work, right? Making sure our shirts are pressed, making sure there's gas in the car and food on the table. Just daily demands, right? All those things happen, right? And that's where people, you know, come and they're like, I sure would love to be involved right now, but I've just got all the stuff I've got to take care of. I sure would love to be in a group, but I can't, I've got something happening that night and I can't be there. I sure would love to be there, you know, on Sundays, but I've just got this thing. My business is really taking off right now. And so I just can't be involved. I've got to take care of this thing. And what happens is the cares of this life, they're just small things, but they begin to grow and grow and grow and grow. And soon they're just bigger and they outgrow the word of God in our lives and take the place of God in our lives. I mean, I've had people come to me so many times that I can't even tell you how many times. Say, Pastor, I prayed for this church. I've been praying for a church family to be involved in, a place that I could belong, a place where I could experience God's presence. And then 3 months down the road, they're like, I've got this great opportunity. I can't be involved right now. I'm like, but you just told me 3 months ago that this is an answer to your prayers. And now, because of the cares of this life, Second one he said was that would be the deceitfulness of wealth, the deceitfulness of riches. And that's just thinking that wealth and stuff and money and things could make us happy and fulfill us, and it can't, right? That's why we see those that have all that stuff still miserable, still not fulfilled, still with no purpose, and they have everything, right? And let's just be clear. You know, that lifestyle just leads us to wanting more and more and more. But God doesn't want us to have less and less and less. Can we just be real for a minute this morning? Sometimes we think that by being more godly means I have less and less and I'll just get by. Listen, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God said the inheritance, that we would have everything that we need that pertains to life. God is a God of abundance. There's no lack in heaven. They're not freaking out about interest rates in heaven because there's abundance. They're not freaking out about any of that stuff. The housing market's going to go up. There is no lack in heaven. God is a God of provision. He said he's the God that sees ahead and provides. He has more of himself. He has more than enough. He's never a God of less. He's always a God of more. He's just looking for some people who know what to do, who can handle some things, that don't just have sticky fingers and can keep it all for themselves and just get wrapped up in their own stuff. God needs some people who can have more and more and can live with the weight of that and can build God's kingdom on this earth with the more and more. That's why we have it, to be a blessing. Not to just say, look how great I am. We don't come in here and sing that song, how great I am. No, it's how great he is. We're here to build his kingdom, to lift his name. He needs people with more and more. But it's when that stuff, when we love that stuff more than we love him, that's where the problem comes in. He doesn't mind us having the stuff. He just minds when we love that stuff instead of him. You know, I would say it this way. A kingdom is about a king, right? A king, how does a king rule? He rules with his words, with his decrees. And so if you want to participate in the kingdom of that king, you have to keep his decrees. You have to keep his words. So if we want to participate in the kingdom of God, then we have to keep his word. We have to begin to let his word work in our life. The deceitfulness of riches. There's the last one. He said that people would have a desire for other things. Just as other things, because it means so much, right? Sometimes it's gadgets. Some people just desire more gadgets. If I don't have the latest gadgets, then my whole world's going to fall apart. Or maybe it's entertainment, or maybe it's hobbies, or maybe it's sports, or whatever it is. We get wrapped up in those things so easily, don't we? None of us set out to ruin our lives that way. We're like, I'm going to get wrapped up in this thing. Nobody does that, but it just happens. So Jesus is telling us, like, hey, we have to be aware. We have to be alert, right? Because it sounds like when we begin to say, I live for this thing. I don't have heard people say it. They live for this thing. This is their whole world. Some of us have been there. Some of us know people that say those kinds of things. And I'm just thinking, man, how sad. People have given their whole lives, their time, all their money. Some people have given their families all for a thing. I'm thinking, man, there's such emptiness in that. So, you know, like, we have the opportunity to serve the King of Kings, right? We have the opportunity to serve the one who puts the stars in their place, who created the sun and the moon and everything around us, right? Scientists say that it would take us 7 million years for us as people to take all of our wealth and all of our energy and all of our power and all of our knowledge, 7 million years, to combine it all over that time to power the sun for 1 second. And God spoke and it exists. And sometimes we're like, God, are you big enough to help me? God, are you big enough to handle my life if I give you all of me? Listen, we have the opportunity. He's so good. We have the opportunity to serve him, and then you want me to bow down and worship at the foot of this thing, this sport, this hobby, whatever it is? That's legalism to me. People say, well, it's legalism. You say I have to be in church every week. That's legalistic. To read my Bible. Listen, I think it's legalism that you want me then to give my whole life, everything else for that, when I have the opportunity to give my life to the one who gave everything for me while I hated him. It's good. It's good news. See, there's nothing wrong with a hobby or enjoying it or enjoying life. There's nothing wrong with having some stuff. But there is something wrong when I can't set that hobby aside, when I can't give God the credit. That's why we have those things, so that I can use a hobby, I can use an interest or a thing to help bring somebody else in and point them to Christ. That's why we have those things, right? That's where it comes in. But we see it. Man, I see it so often. You can see it in our world with people, especially with their kids, right? Pastor, we're going to miss a couple weeks of church. My kids are getting involved in this thing that happens on Sunday. So we're going to miss out, but we're going to listen and we're still going to be a part. And I tell you, 100% of the time, every time, slowly they're out, not involved. Why? Because the word is gone. The word is withered up and died because things have come. It's been choked out. So we shouldn't be surprised when we give no attention to the word of God in our lives, and then all of a sudden we need it and the word is gone because we've given no attention to it in our lives and it's been choked out. We're like, God, where are you? The word was planted in there, but the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things have come and choked it out, and there's nothing left. I mean, we can do what we want. We can go where we want. We can be involved in what we want. I'm just telling you what Jesus said would happen, that there wouldn't be any of the word left. It will be gone. He's just telling us, like, we've got to give attention to the word of God. See, the amount of the word of God that will work in our life is the degree of the attention we give to the word of God. That's how much of the word will work in our lives. I'll show you as we continue through the story. Let's look at the last ground. This is where it gets good. It's the good ground, right? This is those of us who are in this place this morning. We're going to be good ground. Others are like seed that were sown on good soil. They hear the word. They accept it, and it produces a crop. Some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. So one little seed produces 100 times what was planted, right? They're like, that's how much the word can produce in our lives, but it's only going to produce to the amount of attention we give to it. So if we just give a little bit of attention, oh, just a tiny bit of attention to the word, guess what? It's going to produce a tiny bit in our lives. Jesus would go on in verse 24. He said, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you and even more. So the same measure we use to give attention to the word is what it's going to be given. So if I use a little tiny teaspoon of my time to the word, guess what? The word's going to produce a little tiny teaspoon back in my life. But if I get that big old soup spoon out, baby, and I start using that soup spoon, attention of the word of God, then the word is going to produce a soup spoon. But what if I were to get real crazy? What if I were to get real crazy and get the shovel out of the garage and start using a shovel? What if I just got nuts and got the wheelbarrow out? Some of us just need to get in that place. We just need to get a dump truck going on. Start giving a dump truck of our life attention to the word of God, so that the word of God is then going to produce that much more in our lives. Like, are you getting the picture this morning? This is how the inheritance is going to come in our lives. It's seeds that's been given to us, but we've got to plant the seed in our heart. We've got to mix it with faith. We've got to water it. We've got to allow it to work in our lives. And it's not instant. It's not that it takes time. We've got to let seed time and harvest time happen in our lives, so that God's word begins to grow. It begins to grow inside of us, right? It's like, if you need strength, maybe you're just feeling tired all the time, just feeling tired. God's word says the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? So if I just get the Bible out, Nehemiah 8:10, you get it out, I read it, okay, I don't feel stronger. I don't even feel more joyful. But what do? That's the seed of the word right there. So the seed, the picture tells me the joy of the Lord is my strength, but I don't feel strength. I'm not eating peppers right now. I don't even see peppers. I see a picture of it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So what do? I begin to speak it out loud. I begin to think about it. I begin to tweet about it and post it on Facebook. I begin to tell other people, man, I'm so tired. I begin to change what I'm speaking. Man, I feel the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I begin to meditate on it day and night. I begin to wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. I write it down. What am I doing? The seed is planted. Now I'm watering it. I'm letting the word come to life. And soon, before long, fear and worry and doubt, it begins to be displaced by joy and strength in my life because I've watered the seed that's been planted in there. And that's how the most sour, most grumpiest, most weak person can become full of joy, full of strength, moving in the power of the Lord, because they've let the word of God become who they are. That's what we've got to become. We've got to move past some things in our lives, turn from some things, and let the word work in us. So why don't we do it right now? Why don't we just, right where we are, just begin to tell God, maybe you're that ground that's hardened. You're the pathway, and your heart has become hard. And it's felt like things just bouncing off of you. No, I don't need that. But this morning, God is working on you. You could feel it, the Holy Spirit coming in and breaking up those hard places. That's okay. It's okay if you're in that place. That's okay. All that matters is you're here right now. All that matters is that in this moment, you allow God to work in you. All that matters, it doesn't matter an hour ago. Right now, let him work in your life. Let him come in and break up those hard places. Some of us are the stony ground. We have no depth. We haven't let it grow into us. We've been just the hokey pokey, one toe in and one toe out. What if this was 2019 is your year to go all in? Go all in with God. Just be part of everything. Just immerse yourself in the house. Be in services when the doors are open. Sundays, first Wednesdays, get on a team. Serve somebody else. Stop worrying about your own needs. Start serving somebody else's needs. Get in a group. Let the word be fed in you. Get in the Bible college. Do all those things. Just be part of everything. And this year, I promise you, 1 year from now, you won't look back and regret it. You'll look back and you'll be like, everything began changing in my life. Some of us are that thorny ground where the cares of this world and all these things are choking the word out. And you literally feel like that. You feel like there's nothing left in me, God. It's because all those things have choked out the word of God. And today you're hearing the word is being planted. We're going to let it grow. We're going to let it go deep inside of us. Some of us have been that good ground, but we need to renew that commitment that this is a season. Hey, in this time of prayer and fasting, I'm going to go deeper, Lord. I'm going to go deeper than where we are because we've been at a level, but God has something that he wants to go, but it's down here and we got to let our roots go down a little bit deeper. We need some more focus on the word wherever we are. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow God. You've just always seen him as a checklist. And if I do enough good, then I can try to slip by and make it into heaven one day. And it doesn't work that way. It's only through faith in Jesus that we can receive salvation. I don't know where on any of those, wherever you are in that place, you're saying, Pastor, will you pray for me on any of that? Just right where you are, would you lift your hands? You're saying, I need to make some changes in this year. I need to let the hard places in my heart be broken up. I need to get rid of some of these cares in my life. Hands all over. Thank you for those hands. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in this place.